Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. You can get exclusive content every single day for free at sgtreport.com, sgtreport.tv, and of course, the podcast via iTunes, Podbean, and your favorite podcast platforms. Guys, Noble Gold's CEO Colin Plume thinks quantitative tightening is setting up the stage for a gold rally. In his interview with the National Desk, Plume said that tightening is pushing the dollar up. However, he predicts that by next year, the Fed will print money again to restart economic activity. If you're thinking of gold and silver right now, Noble Gold is giving a free gold American Eagle coin with every eligible IRA or 401k. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're the natural choice. You can't go wrong with gold, and you can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call them right now at 877-646-5347, or to find out more, just visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
So until we realize and understand that, you're the public servant. I'm the master. You work for me, not the other way around. And if you're going to talk to me like that, I'm going to slap you with a lawsuit, because now your whole qualified immunity thing is bye-bye, going out and the window.
Due process is your power, and you exercise that power down at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. Come on, people. We can't let this beautiful thing just disappear at the hands of these corrupt politicians that don't, they'll tell you anything to get elected. And we've got to put a stop to it.
Hey friends, Sean from SGTReport.com here. Thank you so very much for tuning in once again. That was Dr. Frederick Graves. He and James Tracy joined me to talk about how to win in court, the real power of the people. Do you know how close you are to grasping the ring and taking back your power? Well, we'll give you the keys to do just that in this interview. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Guys, the crypto space is about to get very hot again with a major pullback on platforms and low prices, but people don't know which platform to use. One by one, crypto trading platforms are declaring bankruptcy or getting hacked. Coinbase recently admitted their investors could lose all of their coins in the event of a bankruptcy. That's why security is my digital money's number one priority. With my digital money, your funds are locked. Your money is not being lent out. It's safe in a trust. It's held in cold storage. Most cryptocurrencies are starting to recover, but they haven't gone back to their all-time highs, not even close. So if you're interested in investing, right now is a great buying opportunity. When it comes to your money, you deserve a company that will respect and secure your crypto. And that's what My Digital Money will do. Visit them at MyDigitalMoney.com and receive a $50 sign-up bonus for qualified accounts. Terms apply. MyDigitalMoney.com. Hey, friends. Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGTReport.com and SGTReport.tv. And yes, Rumble. Hit us up over at Rumble. Subscribe if you haven't. Of course, BitChute, Odyssey. We're very gratified to have back on the lines for a follow-up call, Dr. Graves and James Tracy. James Tracy, you can find him over on Telegram at Affidavits101 and howtowinincourt.com. That's the website for Dr. Frederick Graves. Dr. Graves, first you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to have you on, guys. You're going to learn about the real power of the people on this call. The real power of the people is in the rules of evidence and rules of procedure. And the Bar Association is hiding this very simple truth. As James Tracy said the last time he was on, James, I'm paraphrasing, but I think you said the bar is one of the most evil organizations on planet Earth.
Yeah, I'll second that.
All right. Well, I was quoting you, so I'll second that. All right.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yes, I did say that. That was a wise statement said by me.
Well, I love you guys. All right. So I want to start with some blasphemy coming from the United States federal government. If you guys haven't seen this, you really ought to. I'll just play a brief clip of this. The COVID vaccines, right? The bioweapon, it's back just in time for flu season. And here's how excited they are over at vaccines.gov. Listen to this.
The good news is you can get both your flu shot and COVID shot at the same time. It's actually a good idea. I really believe this is why God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and the other one for the COVID shot.
You can't make this stuff up, friends. They have jumped the shark, but the sheeple people believe just about everything they hear. Not you, dear listener. You guys are not the sheeple people. Tucker Carlson is warning elites are making things worse on purpose, and that is 100% true. Back to the dark ages with United Nations Agenda 2030 policies as they shut down affordable forms of energy all over the world. And guys, I'm coming back to you. The folks in Germany, they are going to freeze this winter. And I think that's the fate that's coming for us too, if we don't turn this ship around right quick. And Sleepy Joe, Creepy Joe, did you see that speech the other night from Inspiring Dear Leader? Did you see, James, you're shaking your head. You didn't see?
No, that? I had better things to do.
Well, pedo Hitler started to trend after that speech. And as you guys know, Sleepy Joe is in the pocket of the World Economic Forum. He's all about shutting down our energy. He wants us to eat the bugs. So in this conversation today, we're going to talk about hope. Where do we find real hope? In the power of the people. That's where we find it. I was going to play one more soundbite here in a second, but I guess we'll kick it off. You know, I was going to complain a little bit about that Taylor Hawkins tribute concert in London. Did you follow the Foo Fighters? Were you a Foo Fighters fan at all, James?
Oh, yeah. I've loved them since I was a teenager. I mean, you can see my guitar in the corner over there. I could strum a couple of their songs. Yeah.
Well, there's a big tribute concert that occurred in London. And, you know, it really ticks me off because Dave Grohl and all these famous people that showed up to be a part of this tribute to the unexpected death of Taylor Hawkins, a drummer in absolute tip-top condition. He died with a heart twice its normal size. And yeah, it was Dave Grohl, the founder of Foo Fighters, who made his band members and everybody on the tour take the vax. And not one person during that tribute concert had the balls to say at any point it was the vax that killed him. Somebody could have snuck that in. Nobody said a word.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Wasn't it the Foo Fighters that canceled one of their shows because of the vax or something along those lines? I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, yeah. It really ticks me off because Dave Grohl carries the responsibility, in my view, for the death of Taylor Hawkins, because it was Dave Grohl who mandated that everyone in that band take the shot. And Taylor Hawkins died in his hotel room, I think in Spain, with a heart twice its normal size. So that's what we're up against, guys. And vaccines.gov, they tell you it's safe and effective. It's yummy. It's delicious. It's nutritious. Go out and get it. Get the boosters. Get your kids boosted. It's all lies. So, boy, have I babbled enough? Dr. Graves, where would you like to start today? Let's talk about hope.
Well, if you want to change things, you can set fire to police cars. I don't know if that does a whole lot of good. You can parade in the streets. You can write a letter to your congressman. I tried that a few times. That never got anything done. Or you can go to court. You can file a pleading. And then people have to pay attention. They have to pay attention. And I've been asking people for, 26 years since I started all this foolishness, this teaching people in 1997, what alternative do you have? If you don't go to court, and you can do that, you don't have to hire a lawyer. We've proven that. I think James will agree with me about that. We might have to learn something before we go to court. But if you're not going to go to court, what are you going to do? You're going to wait and vote, see how much good that does. What alternative do the American people or the people in any nation have when things aren't going the way they want if it's not court? Please tell me. I'm waiting for someone to tell me.
Well, James is all over this. James is using the courts very successfully, and that's why I wanted to have you both on, because Dr. Graves, you're the expert on how to win in court, and people can go to the website and sign up to learn how to do that. James already has much of this knowledge, and he's winning in
court.
He
does. So he does. We've talked.
Yeah, he's very bright. And by the way, I would like to say that you can only light police cars on fire and get away with it if you're Antifa or Black Lives Matter, Dr. Graves. Let's be clear. And by the way, those of us who are right-thinking people who love the Constitution and love our nation, we would never do that anyway. So just to be clear, it's the bad guys. It's the lefties that like to start stuff on fire and burn down businesses because that's how they protest. It's insane.
Well, it doesn't work. That's the bottom line. Doesn't change anything. Laws don't get changed.
Right.
And you know, people that want to spray your children's food with DDT, they won't stop. But when they have to pay $500,000 for your child's, getting ill, they'll stop for sure.
Yeah.
or whatever. James, come up with some examples. I mean, isn't that true? I mean, what other choice does anybody have other than, I mean, let me just say this real quick. Moses, of course, theoretically, if you want to believe what that book says, Moses set up courts way back when. It was a pretty good idea. And then we've had courts in every nation. All the monarchies have had this opportunity that they offered, if you had a lot of money or you had land or whatever, if your blood ran a certain color, you could always bring your problems to the court. That's what they were for. But now we have a situation where professional bar has pretty much taken over this whole thing and hidden the simplicity of how you win. And James is figuring this out. You know, he's a smart guy, but he, you know, I don't know if he's a rocket scientist. Maybe he is.
I'm far from it.
but he is learning how to do this and doing it effectively and making judges sit up and scratch their heads and say, what are we going to do now? James is after us. Because he knows these simple truths, these simple tactics.
You know, it's so funny you say that. So I'm not any smarter than the next guy. I'm not. I don't sit here to profess that I'm the smartest man in the room because, you know, I'm not. I mean, clearly that's when I walk into a room, I don't ever come into any room and think, oh, I'm the smartest person here. No, that's not who I am. It's never who I've been. But just to touch on your point real quick, Sean, where you mentioned, you know, Antifa and Black Lives Matter destroying personal property. The reason why individuals like us, like myself, like Dr. Graves, like you and your listeners, the reason why we don't do stuff like that is because we have respect for other people's property.
Right.
Because we understand, you know, those truths that are self-evident, that were self-evident to the founders of our nation, they're still self-evident to us today, that everyone, I don't care who you are or where you're from or what country you live in, everyone on this green earth, well, green in some places, I guess it depends where you are. Everyone on this green earth is entitled to life, liberty, and property, period. Every single person. So if I'm entitled to that, and Dr. Graves is entitled to that, and you, Sean, are entitled to that, then everybody's entitled to that. So, you know, one of my mentors that I've been fortunate enough to talk with a few times, he said something that was really profound to me. And you actually know Alphonse Fagiolo, Sean. He said that his mentor, Steve Emerson, who's actually just not too far from you, Dr. Graves of Florida, he said, at the bottom line is this, if I can't make you do it, then you can't make me do it. And even if you come in the name of the big bad government and say, well, I'm from the government, so you have to do this, that is still, you know, he's still waving his BS flag. You can see I've got my flag in the background. It's not the BS flag. It's the United States flag. But you know what I mean. Okay. So at the end of the day, if somebody's trying to force you to do something and you don't like it because you know deep down something's wrong with this picture. What is that? You just can't quite put your finger on it. Well, it's call it what you will. Call it the Jiminy Cricket sitting on your shoulder or your conscience, who's telling you this isn't right and there is a way to fix this. And the way to fix this is not by burning down police cars or by breaking buildings or even, heaven forbid, picking up firearms and going and marching in protest to in front of our government. Now, what people don't realize, if you do a dive into history and look at the years leading up to the Declaration of Independence, did the early colonials, did they just up and take up arms and start a revolutionary war? They did. What did they do, Dr. Graves?
They had a plan.
They did. A
written plan. It was written down, and the plan was intended to create a nation where we could all enjoy my favorite thing, peace.
Exactly.
And you can't get peace through violence, because sooner or later, I've often mentioned, I'll let you get back and get you preach your thing there, but I've often thought about MacArthur on that battleship at the end of World War II. What ended the war? Was it another bomb? No, it was some ink in the pen held in the hand of that general who signed a paper. Mm. It's always got to get down to the words on paper, right, James?
Oh, it's so true. And that reminds me of a quick story, but going back to what I was saying is prior to getting that plan, the early colonials submitted grievances to the king. Mm-hmm. They submitted multiple grievances to the king. And they said, hey, king, this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right. I mean, read Thomas Jefferson's original draft of the Declaration of Independence, not the one that we have, his original draft. There is a scathing rebuke of the king for his institution of slavery, a scathing rebuke. And if you still think that Thomas Jefferson was a racist because he owned slaves, after reading that, then you're a freaking moron. I'm just calling you out right now. Because he wasn't. And the only reason why, and you can look at any one of Thomas Jefferson's memoirs, the only reason why he couldn't or he didn't free his slaves is because the law at the time didn't allow him to do so. He tried. He tried to change the law in the House in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and it wouldn't work. Matter of fact, that story I wanted to mention, you know, you said MacArthur on the, was it Yorktown? If I remember correctly. Yeah, they're on the deck of the USS Yorktown. They met with the Japanese high command to end World War II. Well, a week and a half ago, I was in Virginia on business. And I was not 20 miles away from Appomattox Courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
been there. So, I mean, who knows what happened there? That's where the Civil War formally came to an end. Now, what most people don't realize is that the Confederate Army was actually multiple armies that all had their own independent generals. So we all know about General Robert E. Lee. He's the most influential that we know about. And he started the end, the ultimate formal end to the Civil War when he met with Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse. Now, a little side note, they never actually met inside of a courthouse. This is what's interesting. They met in the parlor of the nicest home in the village. The village was called Appomattox Courthouse.
It's just a house.
I didn't know that until I went there. And they have it all set up just the way they did. And it was just like you say, there was the Union Army generals were there. Robert Lee rode up on his horse, dismounted, came in. And if you read the terms of the surrender, it's in paper. It's in writing. You know, in general... General Grant was very generous to allow, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you could have looked at it like these were seditionists. These were traitors. And they could have, you know, if the Union Army wanted to, they could have strung them all up by their necks. But General Grant showed mercy toward his fellow brethren and said, take your men and go home. Go home.
Because the goal of all of this, the goal of everything... Our number one goal has to be peace and prosperity for the people. Yeah. And the only way to get that is words on paper, not violence, the anger gets in the way of getting the words on paper too. People get angry and don't realize that, you know, so some evil SOB has done something bad and we're going to get all turned inside out about it when all we have to do is file a pleading, maybe two or three pages long, and that evil SOB has to come to court and answer questions and produce documents. It's not rocket science. And it beats the heck out of blowing up somebody's personal property or breaking into a shoe store and all these other terrible things that stupid people do because they don't know they have another option. And that's what we're trying to get people to see is you have another option and it's the correct option. And the result of that option is a world where the little guy can enjoy life just as well as the rich man. And we ought to be all working for that. And the court is where we do the work, and my humble opinion.
No, and you're absolutely right, Dr. Graves. And here's some interesting insights that I have learned since, you know, taking Dr. Graves' course and studying his course. And, you know, it's interesting. I have on my internet tab, I always have a link open to Dr. Graves' course. It's always right here. So as I'm going through writing my legal briefs, I have it all right here. Oh, there it is. Thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to pop this up, guys. It's howtowinincourt.com. I'll leave the link below. You can see some of these testimonials from people who have taken the course. Boy, they're zipping by too fast there. I was looking at them when you were talking, James, and they're all glowing. So many of these people saying, I fired my attorney. I used your tactics. I won my case. I mean, person after person after person.
Well, and let's just touch on that real quick. I mean, these tactics aren't like, these are tactics that are available to anyone, including these quote unquote attorneys who go to law school. But see, the travesty that we have today is that individuals who go to law school today, they don't go to law school and they're not taught how to follow procedure and how to follow court rules. They're taught how to win cases. And a lot of times the way they do that is extremely unethical.
Yep.
Borderline's illegal in some places.
Yep.
They're not, like I said before, they're not taught to follow the rules of the court. So a lot, you'll hear some people say, some of these folks that are in the Patriot mythology crowd, gosh, I can't tell you how many times I deal with these people. And they're like, oh, you can't go into the court. You know, the rules of civil procedure are against us and this and that and everything else. And I'm like, have you actually read the rules of civil procedure? Have you read them? Because if you look at them, you'll see that they outline exactly how you can win your case. And I'm here to tell you that I now have 5 cases that I'm litigating in the federal courts right now. 5. And not one time has any of the opposing counsel followed those rules the way that they're supposed to follow. Now, I've made sure. So anytime I get something back from the court, I look at 3 places. I look at the federal rules of civil procedure. I look at my local state rules. It's a little different in the federal courts as it is from state courts. Every federal district court has their own local rules specific to that district, and they'll give them to you. It's in a PDF document. So I look there, and then I look at the case law surrounding it. And case law is simple to find. You can jump on. There's a free resource, Google Scholar, scholar.google.com, and you can select case law, and it'll search that way. If you're like me, where you're a nut job and enjoy reading legal opinions, you can subscribe to a service, which I do, because it gives me more legal insight, more access to things like American Jurisprudence, which is a golden nugget. American Jurisprudence, just so you're aware, Sean, this is a collection of legal opinions from justices over the course of our history of our nation. Because one of the individuals that explained it to me that made it make the most sense for me, and I don't know if you've heard of him, Dr. Graves, his name is Richard Cornforth. You ever hear of him?
I have. I met Cornforth probably 30 years ago.
Oh, good.
He used to give seminars. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
We both did.
Yeah. So Richard Cornforth, if my memory serves, was from Oklahoma. And he used to give seminars just like Dr. Graves talks about. And he talks about the secrets of the legal industry. Well, there really aren't any secrets. There are secrets in that if individuals like myself or others who are litigating a case pro se, which is on your own, there are secrets in that you actually have the upper hand.
Yes.
And these opposing attorneys know that. And so they throw everything at you that they possibly can think of, even if it's garbage and it's just a complete waste of time. So he mentions that you have to understand that we live in a republic under the common law. And so when laws are written or passed by the legislatures, the legislature has a certain meaning for what they want that law to apply to, but sometimes it's unknown exactly how that law applies to a particular situation. And so until you've seen how the courts rule on what that law means, you really don't have a full understanding if this makes sense. So what that is called is called the annotated code, annotated law. So you can look at any law and see the decisions that were rendered either by a federal court,
right,
an appellate court, the Supreme Court of the United States, or even your local state's courts, state Supreme Courts and appellate courts. And that will determine how that law is applied to any particular situation. So if you have access to that.
Right. And in other states, we have, like, for example, in Florida, we have what's called Florida Statutes Annotated.
Yep.
You can pick out a statute in Florida or Ohio or Tennessee. They all have it. Their book publishers publish them and find out, well, what did the appellate court say about this particular statute?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the bottom line is that we have this power, and it's down at the courthouse, mm-hmm. and there are people that are being paid a salary. very early on, I was, you know, I didn't go to law school. I was 39. So I was, you know, older than some of the judges. And I remember very early in one of my earliest cases, the judge looked up at me and he said, don't you lawyers ever read the rules? So I read the rules and by golly, there you are. Just like James is saying, it's not hard. It's not difficult. You know, for evidence to be evidence, it has to be relevant. It has to affect the outcome of the case. That's not too difficult. I think I can explain that to a third grader, what relevance is, what reliability is, what credibility is, these various filters that the evidence rules use to make sure that your opponent doesn't get some kind of garbage in the way and try to mislead everybody and take them down some rabbit path. And when you know how to object, which a lot of lawyers are afraid to do, they don't want to upset the judge. And yet, if you're willing to upset the judge and explain to the judge, no, excuse me, Your Honor, objection, hearsay, the witness is not going to speak. Do not let the witness speak. And because if you do, and I lose my case, we will be appealing because what that witness is supposed to answer the lawyer's question is going to require the witness to talk about something somebody said outside the court, someone I can't cross-examine.
Yeah, that's called a hearsay.
It's not rocket science. Yeah. And it's been kept from you by the bar that I belong to, that I've been a member of and paying my dues for 36 years. And they don't bother me. They're not coming after me. I haven't been doing anything wrong other than just telling the truth. And the truth is that many lawyers, maybe not all, but many lawyers are afraid to stand up to the judge because they think like they have to please the judge to win a case. And to imagine you have to please a judge to win the case completely goes against the whole idea that this isn't about pleasing the judge. It's about putting the pieces together that go together in a certain way and they fit together. Guess what? You win. And trying to please and pray and you know, request and gee whiz, I'm sorry to take up your time and all this other is just nonsense. People have a right to justice and we can give them justice. But they may have to take a little bit of responsibility and learn the rules of evidence, which a third grader, I think, can learn in an afternoon. I really believe that with all my heart.
Well, let me ask for an example, James. So you know that a mandate is not a law, right? Yep. So that open clip I played from the vaccine pushers, the bioweapon pushers, I don't know that they're going to try to do mandates again in the future. I suspect they might, but give us an example of a proper way to use the courts to preserve your own freedom. Let's say mandates come back, you lose your job because you won't take a vaccine.
Sure.
You sue your employer. I mean, take us through what you think would be a great example of how to do this, how everyone listening can do this and take the law into their own hands, learn how to win in court over at Dr. Graves' website. And then what's the first step? Give us a case. Give us a case example.
Yeah. So the one that comes to mind is the recent decision that was handed down by, I believe, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Remind me, Dr. Graves, is that the court that covers Illinois? I think.
Not sure.
Anyway, it's either the Fifth or the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's a federal one. There were a group of individuals who worked for a hospital. And I believe it was CHG Healthcare, and I'm quoting here, so I apologize if I'm way off, if I'm way wrong, but the gist is the same. The hospital came and told their employees, you must get this, no exceptions. Well, there were a number of employees who objected due to religious grounds, namely, a lot of them were pro-life individuals, and it's no surprise that aborted fetal tissue, let's just call it what it is, aborted baby parts are used to make this disgusting juice that they're putting in people's arms. And so these individuals objected to that. So they sought a religious exemption. Well, the hospital just unequivocally denied every single one of them. Didn't give them another option. So these folks sued. Now they went out and got an attorney and they sued. Now I'm going to take that for what it's worth. I'm just going to give this as an example of to what you're asking, Sean. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the hospital settled the case, I want to say, for about $18.5 million, I believe, $18.5, $18.6 million settlement. There was 120 plaintiffs that were seeking this. And what the appellate court came out and said is that if you offer religious exemption, you just cannot unequivocally deny that religious exemption just because you want to. So if a company is going to come out and mandate something, there must be an alternative. It's not black and white. It's no, you either do this or there's this. There has to be an acceptable accommodation. Reasonable accommodation is what the courts call it. And the reasonable accommodation could be anywhere from, well, choosing, you know, if you're saying that this thing, again, don't get me started on the whole existence of this COVID garbage. We don't have time for that. But if the hospital is saying that this is a threat and they're saying that you must go get this experimental jab in order to stay employed, well, there must be an alternative to that to still stay employed. And that's ultimately what happened. There was another lawsuit that was issued by a group called the U.S. Freedom Flyers. It represented a number of pilots across the country who objected to the same thing. I mean, Sean, you've heard the stories of pilots passed. There was one, I want to say it was a British Airways pilot who 30-something thousand feet in the air, and he went unconscious. The co-pilot had to land the plane. So it's a good thing there's two of them in the cockpit, but still. That's a scary thing. I mean, you're talking a plane that carries anywhere from 180 to 230 passengers plus its crew, and they're in the hands of an individual who's been jabbed with some experimental thing that we don't know what it is, and we're starting to see what these things do, like what you mentioned earlier with Taylor Hawkins. So the reason why we the people have the power, hence my shirt, we the people, is because when we step into a court, we're not dangling by our bar card.
Right.
So Randy Kelton talks about this. He says, when attorneys come in there, they're like, oh, I don't want to do anything that's going to tick the judge off because he can take my bar card and he can just tear it in pieces. Right. That's what they think. So that's why they walk on eggshells. Now we're
paying them, James.
Exactly. We as citizens of this republic.
Yeah.
Exactly. We as citizens of this republic are not the same. Okay. We have certain powers and things we can do. So, for example, when I step in full disclosure, I've never actually stepped into a court. Everything I've done has been on paper. That's the other thing I love about this. I can just take my time, write my briefs, email it to the court clerk. It gets docketed in the file. The judge reads it. The other side sees it, and so on and so forth. And we go, now eventually, I'm sure I'll get there, but I haven't yet. But how does somebody start this? Well, for me, all it was I was like, okay, well, where do I start? How do I begin? Well, for one, Dr. Graves' course is a must. You got to have it. You need to know how courts operate. You need to know the processes from start to finish. You know, what certain things mean. You're going to learn terms and things you've never heard of, like judicial estoppel, for example. I've never heard of that term before. I started litigating cases. And you can understand why it's crucial. And I'll give you a little story here in a second about that. But what I did is I just got online and started researching. One of the things that I love about litigating cases, and Dr. Graves, you may want to plug your ears for this one, is that there's a slew of examples of lawsuits out there. The public courts are public for a reason. And most cases you can have access to. And what I love about this is, and this is something that my buddy Randy down in Texas always says, Randy Kelton, he says, you know, plagiarism is not only allowed, it's encouraged in litigation. So if you find a legal brief that fits your term, there's no sense in going and rewriting it, you know, just so you don't have the whole plagiarism. Just copy it and paste it. Put it right into your stuff. And that's what I've done. So if I'm looking to litigate a situation, I'll give you a quick example. I have a friend of mine who a mortgage servicing company is unlawfully attempting to foreclose on her property. I mean, how many people does this happen to? Especially with the crap that's happened recently. Brief story with hers was her husband worked in the hospitality industry. When the government came and shut everything down, he was furloughed for about 9 months, maybe a little longer than that. So they had no income coming in. So they sought a forbearance with their former company, which granted it to him. As soon as he was able to go back to work, they came to her and said, okay, now you need to pay it all back right now. It was like $35,000. She's like, there's no way we can do this. So she hears nothing from them for a few months. And then lo and behold, she starts getting statements from another company, a new company. Mm. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not going to go into the details on this because it's way out there. But the long story short is this new company. She's like, I don't know who you are. Send me proof that you can even contact me. It's called validation. There's a federal law that allows people to seek a validation of debt, which she did. They didn't provide the proof in the method that is required. And what I mean by that is she said, I need to know you have ownership of the promissory note. Now, I don't need you to send me that physical copy, but I need somebody to send something that's signed under the penalty of perjury, that you have this and that you have the right to foreclose on me. Never got that document. So they kept pushing along. Of course, they get some other shyster attorney firm here in Salt Lake City involved. So now she's receiving statements from the servicing company and statements from some debt collection law firm. And I'm just like, okay, how much longer are you going to allow this to go on? Let's just sue them. I don't want to give anybody, you know, I used to think, well, I'm going to send them a letter and state that I'm going to do. No, I'm beyond that. Just, okay, if you're going to be messing with my business, I'm just going to slap you with a federal lawsuit.
Hear, hear.
So that's what we did. Now, I made a couple mistakes on the lawsuit. And, you know, I found a template online for wrongful foreclosure because, again, let's go back real quick. Remember, Sean, how I said that every man, woman, and child is guaranteed to life, liberty, and property?
Property, yeah.
Okay. The 14th Amendment guarantees that you cannot be deprived of any of those without proper due process of law. So what the courts have said due process of law is you must be given notice, an opportunity to be heard, mm-hmm. and you have to be given an opportunity to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So I cannot be deprived of any of those rights without any one of those three things. Well, some states have taken it upon themselves, like my state of Utah, to allow mortgage companies to foreclose on people's properties without using the courts. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, how is that possible, is what I just said.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Guys, Noble Gold's CEO Colin Plume thinks quantitative tightening is setting up the stage for a gold rally. In his interview with the National Desk, Plume said that tightening is pushing the dollar up. However, he predicts that by next year, the Fed will print money again to restart economic activity. If you're thinking of gold and silver right now, Noble Gold is giving a free gold American Eagle coin with every eligible IRA or 401k. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're the natural choice. You can't go wrong with gold, and you can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call them right now at 877-646-5347. Or to find out more, just visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
It's not. Dr. Graves is shaking his head. The bottom line, it's not. And the Supreme Court has said it's not as such, but they do it anyway because people don't fight back. To them, it's the risk versus reward business plan.
Well, and they don't know, James. Let me get a plug in here for something that sure. I hope that everybody listening, at least pray for me. I have the trademark for the word justice. Imagine a magazine on the newsstand and justicemagazine.com, which isn't anything right now, just a handful of stuff that I've thrown up there. But I have that domain, justicemagazine.com, and I've got the word justice. I have the federally registered trademark for justice. What if Justice Magazine, month after month after month, was telling people these things that otherwise they don't know? You're not going to learn it on the evening news. You're not going to learn it at church. The bar certainly isn't going to tell you. So what if I was able to find, by the grace of God, somebody comes along and says, look, we want to start this publishing company with you, and we'll put out Justice Magazine in addition to the Jurisdictionary How to Win in Court course, and we'll do some other things, and we'll start getting this into the schools. That, I think, is a possibility, and we can call it the Justice Revolution. But if people don't know about these things, they don't understand that somebody has to answer this, they have to restructure this, they have to follow the law. And if people don't know, because nobody's telling them what the law is that's relevant to things that are going on, like the vaccine or somebody taking your home without due process or taking your children without due process. That's one that gets me really super steamed.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that one.
And so if we could give the people this in a format that's entertaining, informative, educational, and empowering, the four E's, you know, we could make a big difference in this country. But just being one man with a lot of people like good people like you and Sean, you know, we're who we are, but with a magazine that's out there on the racks, we could be teaching people all kinds. Are you paying too much child support? Someone take your child, someone trying to take your home. Did you try to start a business? And they said, somebody else said there were rats in the kitchen and all of this. Then, you know, here's how you win. Here's how you fight for your rights. Here's how the rights begin to make sense, because now you know how to enforce your rights. And I know that both you guys will agree with me that if you have to pay a lawyer $100,000 to enforce your rights, it's not doing you a whole lot of good if you don't have $100,000. I was a fishing boat skipper. I mean, I was lucky to have $500 to my name at any point in my life until recently. And how do these people? I know what it's like to be without, like the Apostle Paul said, I know what it is. And for people to have to suffer because this knowledge is being hidden from them on purpose, please pray for me to get these opportunities to get people like James and Sean and a few thousand other people to make up their minds that, by golly, we're sick and tired of being held in the dark and prevented from exercising our rights. Teach us the law and let us enjoy the benefits of living in a land supposed to be under law, the rule of law, and due process. But if we don't know what it is and our children don't know what it is, what does that portend for the future? Question mark. Right. I'll shut up now. You're doing a good job, James.
Oh, no, you're great. You're great. I mean, we've all been ignorantly misled. I mean, yeah, we had our civics classes in school and we had the Constitution, you know, but do you really know the Constitution? Do you know that the Constitution limits the government to 18 particular powers and anything aside from that is unconstitutional? Do people know this?
Did you know the 10th Amendment is dead in the water?
Yeah. Dead in
totally
the water.
Dead, totally dead in the water.
It's dead in the water.
Rights not specifically conveyed to the federal government or reserved to the people and the states respectively.
Yep.
And what happened to that?
They just decided.
But let's get to it now. All because, and remember we did this last time, Luke chapter 11, verse 52, not just woe to you lawyers, period. No, woe to you lawyers because you have hidden the keys of knowledge.
Yeah.
And we've had enough. I think the American people need to say, look, I'm not taking anymore. You're not going to hide this from me anymore. We are going to tell everybody the law belongs to us, not to the bar lawyers.
Yeah.
Amen. I get an amen here.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. And you're going to get.
Right. No. Guys, there it is.
Guys, flush that out. What do you mean the 10th Amendment is dead?
What does it do? Where do states have the right to do anything if the federal government trumps it with some kind of garbage that they've come up with because they want to change the morality of the our children? It's right there. Any powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. We don't have that. That doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Let me push back gently on that, because I think, you know, what I've been saying is that we have 50 states. We have 50 sovereign states compared to the European Union. Right. KL was on and he explained all of that. We went through the history. And when you see unconstitutional, tyrannical executive orders coming from the puppet president, you immediately see pushback from DeSantis and other governors that said, we're not going to obey that. We're not going by that. That's unconstitutional. So thereby, states do have the power, and that's what I keep saying. That's our shining jewel of keeping our nation free is 50 states, not this out of control tyrannical federal government.
Well, when they choose to do it, I mean, in the school system, for example, back in the early, late 50s and early 60s, federal government started promising schools money. We'll send you money, but you have to do this. We'll send you money, but you have to teach this.
Right, right.
And we want you to teach this. And if you don't teach it, we're going to hold off on sending you the money.
Right.
So, yeah, the law is there. But again, Sean, it's just like James and I are saying about people who aren't enforcing their rights because they don't know how. And states that aren't standing up for the rights of the people within the state of Utah, for example, or Michigan, where I now live, you know, but the 10th Amendment's there. It didn't disappear. It just doesn't seem to have a lot of power these days because it's pretty much ignored. And James is agreeing with me, I hope. Some people agree with me.
Yeah, no, it's sad, honestly. When
we can fix it. But we can fix it.
Yes,
it's
we
up
can.
To us, the people, like I say on your shirt there, we the people, either mm-hmm. we the people, either take the courts back from the lawyers and make up our minds that we are going to learn what the rules of evidence are. We are going to learn how to object. And if we can't get a lawyer who will stand up to the judge and fight for us, we'll fight for ourselves. And if the federal government says that our little, that, you know, that the boys get to come into my daughter's bathroom at the school, I don't care who says it. No, well, that's not going to happen. And not, we'll get enough people together. And if we can't get a lawyer to go to court for us, God forbid that he would not fight for us if we pay him money. But that happens. We'll do it ourselves. And we will straighten out these things that we don't like about our government. Because isn't that how it was all planned in the first place? That we were supposed to have a system that we ourselves could change.
Yes.
I believe that's written right in the big documents. The big ones on parchment. Right?
Yeah.
It's right there. We have to make those changes. And if, go ahead, James.
I was looking and I apologize, I can't find it here, but and I'm sure maybe Sean, you can do this. Thomas Jefferson said that the key to an enlightened citizenry lies in the education of its people.
Amen.
And if we fail to educate our children, if we fail to educate ourselves. Not just on, you know, basic things that we need to be able to survive, but also how we enforce our rights. So back to your question earlier, Sean, you said, what happens if you walk into a store and some joker comes up and says, you got to put a mask on? You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and fight with that individual? Because I've seen people do that. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there. You're just going to ignore them and wander through and have them harass you the entire time. You know, there might've been a time where I was like, I don't want the confrontation. Fine, I'll go somewhere else. But I'm at the point now that if I walk into a store and someone comes up to me and says, I have to commit an act of assault upon myself just to enter that store, I'm like, one second, I'm gonna take a few steps back, pull out my phone and call 911. I have a crime in progress. I need to report. I need a police officer here right now. This man or woman is attempting to commit an act of assault upon myself to access a place of public accommodation, which I have a right to enter. Is the store not open? Sign says open. These are regular business hours. I mean, how many people were trespassed because they wouldn't put on a mask to walk into a store? Every single one of those citations and every single one of those idiots that issued those citations can be and should be held liable because they are. So let me give you a couple brief examples. Back to my original story about my friend with the mortgage company. We served the mortgage company and the attorney's office that's trying to handle the trustee sale a lawsuit. They filed a motion to dismiss. Surprise, surprise. Right, Dr. Graves? Well, it was so funny because, like I said, I'm litigating 5 cases in federal court, so I've got a lot of things going on in my head. And in my statement of facts and in my allegations, I alleged violations and deprivations of rights under the color of law. That's Title 42, 1983 Act cause of action. But in my causes of action, I forgot to put that in there. So they were trying to seek dismissal for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. And in their motion to dismiss, they stated that everything in my complaint was accepted as true for the purposes of this motion. Now, one of the things we stated was that they cannot, or they have not and cannot produce an original copy of the promissory note, which would grant them the right to foreclose.
Oh, okay.
So what does that say, Dr. Graves, under the judicial estoppel?
Missing element. Essential element.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so under the doctrine of judicial estoppel, okay, this is that big word I threw out earlier. Basically, what it means is if a party takes a certain position, they cannot deviate from that position and change course as like the winds would change. Okay, so if their position is, well, we agree with what you've said, which is we don't have this document, so we're agreeing that we cannot produce this document. Well, now they've just, I mean, this, when I read that, I kind of sat back. I'm like, did this stupid attorney just admit that they don't have this? Because guess what I can do? According to the rules, I get one freebie. I can amend my complaint, which is what we're doing. But Good. Guess what? We're going to add into that complaint the fact that they just admitted that they don't have this document. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to move for summary judgment.
Good.
Boom. Done. And when this attorney gets my amended complaint and sees that, if he doesn't crap a brick in his pants, his named partners are going to fire him.
You'd be surprised how many of them do not pass the bar the first time.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all.
And I can tell you that. I think the ladies at law school were far better than the young men. The young men were out shooting pool and buying all the crib books, you know, all the shortcuts, instead of actually going to class and reading the books, which foolish old men like me, I actually read the books and went to all the classes. But an awful lot of lawyers, you know, they hire a paralegal to do the writing for them. They're really pushovers.
Yeah.
And again, this is why I want the American people to realize you do not have to be intimidated by these people. You know, if you understand that a flush beats a full house or vice versa, you might have a chance at the poker table. But if you don't know the rules, don't play poker.
Yeah.
If your little girl comes home and says, you know, daddy, they're letting boys come in the girls' bathroom because the boys think they're girls. And if that bothers you or anything that you think needs to change, you've got these people down at the courthouse. They're down there. That's what they're there for. You go down there with three or four sheets of paper called a pleading. And all of a sudden people are ready to listen to you. They're ready to say, well, you know, what can we do to make this right? Mm-hmm. And it's a whole lot better than setting fire to police cars.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because like you said, I mean, courtrooms have a particular decorum. You're expected to act in a particular way. And if you don't, the judge can issue sanctions or they can hold you in contempt of court. And that's not a place you want to be, because Dr. Graves mentioned before he had an individual who chose to ignore the court's order. And so he went to the court and said, he's ignoring me. The court granted him a contempt of court order. The sheriff went and slapped handcuffs on the guy and called him off to jail.
Put him in jail.
And then Dr. Graves is like, do you want to ignore a court order again, or should we keep playing this game?
No, but he did answer my question. And you
eventually,
everyone listening to us has this power. That's what it's called. Due process power. It's not just due process. It is power. And it was paid for. I've said this so many times. Let me just real quickly. A four-star general befriended me when I was teaching in a private Christian school in Orlando. His name was Lewis W. Walt, four-star general, vice commandant of the Marine Corps. Why he befriended me, I have no idea. I was teaching ninth grade boys' Bible. And he invited me to his home one day to talk to me about what he experienced in Korea and Vietnam and how his boys were getting all shot up. And I looked over at this old man, big chested fella. I loved him. He's gone now. I'll tell you that another story. And there were tears going down his face. And he said to me, Frederick, his exact words, Frederick, never give up the fight. Well, I just wish I could infect everybody listening to us today. You know, this is a battle. We're supposed to be fighting for liberty. We're not supposed to just sit back and expect somebody to give it to us on a platter. And we can't trust the bar. Sorry, if you people in Florida at the bar are listening to me, pay attention. We can't trust you.
Yeah.
But we can trust ourselves once we are educated and understand how this is supposed to be run. This thing called America is supposed to be a holy experiment. That's what William Penn called it, a holy experiment, where we would rule ourselves. And we're not doing that, ladies and gentlemen. We are allowing someone else to rule us. And James and Sean and I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. But the bottom line is, are you willing and ready to make up your mind you are going to learn how this game is played and play this seriously for the sake of your children and the future of the world? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let me do a screen share as we round out the conversation, and we'll talk about education because, you know, the schools are designed now to provide kids with Common Core. What is Common Core? United Nations agenda garbage. Oh. United Nations garbage. They don't want thinking people. They don't want critical thinkers. Rockefeller schooling, Rockefeller medicine. It is antithetical to human freedom, human dignity, and health. So how to win in court? This is the place to go, guys. I'll leave the link below. It's not very darn expensive to give you all of the tactics and knowledge you need to go to court and take these people on yourself directly. And as I come back to James and Dr. Graves, James, I know that there is a lot of liberty happening over on Telegram. Of course, your Telegram channel is Affidavits 101. What are some of the other great places where people are exchanging this kind of information? I know Alphonse is active and others. You've learned from Dr. Graves. You've learned from others as well. Where are some of the places that this liberty, this fire of liberty is happening over on Telegram?
Yeah, I would tell you that the three channels that I follow the most, beside obviously, you know, my channel, there's Alphonse's channel. It's just Alphonse Fagiolo is his name. F-A-G-G-I-O-L-O-I-O-L-O. There we go. Alphonse Fagiolo. And that's A-L-P-H-O-N-S-E. There's Randy Kelton's Telegram channel. His is the Law Society. Mm-hmm. He also has a weekly radio show that he does. It's called the Rule of Law Radio, under the same name, ruleoflawradio.com. He does a show every Thursday and Friday night, encourages people to call in, talk about their cases. They talk about different situations and tactics and things. I can't tell you how much I learned and still learn by flipping on one of those radio shows. They're usually posted in the Telegram channels the next day, commercial free, that you can just listen to and see, you know, see what people are dealing with. There have been people with like Dr. Graves has said, child's issues where the state has tried to take their children away, or so on and so forth. And we've got a lot of good stuff in there. And then the third is my good buddy, Brandon Sibley in Louisiana. His chat is the Big Sib, the Big S-I-B Sib Law. Those are the three that I look, and those of us that are active in there, every single one of my court pleadings or writings or briefs, I post in there and I tell people, take it. If it helps you, great. You know, I'm one of these weird people that I enjoy reading and doing legal research. You know, my wife made fun of me. I just got this book the other day. I don't know if you can see that. It's O'Connor's Texas Causes of Action. Good. I'm not in Texas, but this is a great book because it has all the different types of lawsuits and the causes of action and their essential elements that you need to be able to allege in your pleadings. I picked this up on Amazon. It was $200. My wife's like, what are you doing buying the $200 book? I was like, well, sweetheart, I need it. So there's that. Yeah. You've got, there you go. The United States Supreme Court reports.
No, one law, Ed. U.S. 1-4.
Yeah, there you go.
Goes back to the beginning.
That's a very big, I bet you're going to find Marbury v. Madison in there somewhere, won't you?
No doubt about it.
So
well, let's get the people turned on to this. Let it be the new thing. And you know, we went through the health revolution. We've gone through all this exercise revolution, gone through all this, all kinds of revolutions. Why not have a justice revolution? Why not have people start control your government, do what we're supposed to do, e pluribus unum. Yeah. You know, let's make it happen. It's not too late.
You want to see change? You know, Sean, you talked about what can we do to affect change? Well, here it is right here. If you have half a dozen or even a dozen people in a particular county or a state that bring suits of big nature, like the suit that I have with my friend, suing a mortgage company because they don't have the lawful instrument that the law says that is required for them in order to foreclose. How many of the, again, like I said, for a business like that, it's the risk versus reward. They're like, well, we might pay out X amount of dollars in lawsuit settlements, but we're going to bring in X amount. So this number over here is a lot bigger than this number here. So we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. Well, until you have more people that are filing suits like that, eventually they're going to go, okay, now this number has gotten much bigger on this side. We need to rethink our business plan and strategy. And the same is true for some of these government functions that say they have the authority. Just go back. Look at what the Declaration of Independence says. It's very clear. We the people, not we the citizens, not we the inhabitants, not we the residents. Because that denotes that you were created by the government. It's the other way around. We were created by God. And governments are instituted among men to secure our rights. Mm-hmm. Among those rights is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. So until we realize and understand that, you're the public servant. I'm the master. You work for me, not the other way around. And if you're going to talk to me like that, I'm going to slap you with a lawsuit because now your whole qualified immunity thing is bye-bye, going out the window.
And if an average eighth grader can learn how to do it in a weekend, then what is going on and why have we all been kept in the dark this long? And now we have the internet that can't keep us in the dark any longer. If we just make up our minds, we've had enough. We're going to stand up. We're going to learn how. And we're going to make a difference. Amen.
That's right. Amen. Let me show you guys one last thing before we part ways. I think Dr. Graves, James, you're really going to appreciate the language that I'm about to show you. This is really wonderful stuff. In Upside Down World, this is how the Wisconsin Examiner spins this particular lawsuit. COVID lawsuits push doctors to provide substandard care. Because patients demanding ivermectin went to court and got their way. Let me just scroll down. This is remarkable. This is so Orwellian. Oh my God, this is beautiful. Listen to these people in Upside Down World. An appeals court ruling last week, this article is from June 2022, so pretty fresh. An appeals court ruling last week blocked a court order that could have required a hospital to go against its own Fauci protocols and provide a COVID-19 patient with a widely discredited and ineffective treatment, ivermectin. You gotta love it. We take them on in court. Patriots take these hospitals on and these corrupt doctors and the Fauci protocols on in court. They win. And the spin is that now these doctors are forced to provide substandard care. Well, I'm coming back to you guys. James, what is remdesivir if not substandard care? My God.
Well, that's remdesivir gives people kidney failure, and that's proven.
That's right.
That is proven. Was it one of your guests that you had on, Sean, that called it rem death is near?
I don't know, but I like that. No, I know. And early on in the COVID boogeyman narrative, when everybody was going into the hospitals and people were dying as their lungs filled up with fluid and their kidneys shut down, the doctors were baffled and they said, oh, we've never seen a COVID boogeyman virus like this. No, it was the remdesivir that was killing people. And the Wisconsin Examiner wants its readers to believe ivermectin is substandard care, whereas the protocols called for remdesivir, which was killing people. Are you kidding me? This is upside down.
You want to know the definition of irony? It's right here in the fact that the CDC, I want to say last week, just added ivermectin to its approved protocols for COVID treatment. I mean, that's how ridiculous this is. I mean, I don't trust anything that's published by the CDC anymore. That's clearly, I have my own issues with that agency. But again, you've got, but okay. So what's our remedy? You know, what
there you
if go. Somebody reads that article and believes what that article says and dies because of it, what's the remedy? Well, somebody can that company that bought, that newspaper. They've just opened themselves up for liability.
Yep.
So if they're okay with paying that liability, then that's what you want, then go ahead. But, you know, I've got a friend of mine here. She and I are talking about pursuing a defamation lawsuit against the local newspaper. And by the time we're done, she'll own the newspaper.
Good.
And we can start doing some good things with it, like you say, Dr. Graves, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right. Well, the author of that trash at the Wisconsin Examiner is Eric Gunn. Eric, I don't know if you have an attorney, but James makes a good point. You may have opened yourself up to some lawsuits here based on your disinformation, your misinformation. I love the fact that the mainstream horror media calls the stuff we talk about, James, misinformation and disinformation. The United Nations, by the way, is now very, very worried about disinformation regarding the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. I don't know if you're following that, but the powers that ought not be, they're really alarmed that we're all waking up in droves. In these newspapers, the mainstream media, what's their approval rate? Like 8%?
If that. I mean, most people use those newspapers for toilet paper.
Yeah. Birdcage liners. That's what they are. They're very good.
Yeah, kitty liners. Kitty litter liners, right? Or like at the bottom of their bird cages.
Yeah.
This is such disinformation. If what Dr. Graves is teaching and what I have been pushing is such disinformation, then answer me this one question. How is it possible that the little old me, where I do not have a college degree, okay, I do not have a college degree. I went to one semester of college and I said, I can't do this. And I just so chose to go another path. So little old me, who does not have a college degree, if I can write something on paper and serve it on a very large police department, I won't say who just yet, and I've got these people shaking going, we need to settle this because we can't defend against this, then how is that misinformation? I would love for someone to explain that to me.
Good. Well, General Walt, just to add a little bit here, the tears going down his face was while he was talking to me about how the United Nations were interfering with the caliber of ammunition they were allowed to use and at what hour they could fire a flare out over the field where they could hear the gooks coming with their feet all wrapped with rags. And he sat there and wept. And later on, he told me the story of how that one fellow tried to murder him one morning when he was leaving the Pentagon. And then another person that I knew, a fellow that was an editor, the editor of the Orlando Sentinel, said that he was purposely lobotomized in a Texas hospital. We've got a fight to fight, gentlemen, and we have to fight it with words, not anger, not setting fire to police cars. But we have this ability to save this nation and the dream of all mankind. And that's what I think America stands for, should stand for. It's the dream of all mankind to live in peace and to share prosperity and to love each other and make a better world. And we don't make a better world by setting fire to it. We make a better world by putting ink on it as quickly as possible, as many of us as we possibly can get to wake up and realize this isn't rocket science. It is your responsibility for your children and for the people you love and for this nation you say you love. If you really love the nation like you claim, then learn how to fight for it in the courts.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Sorry, I get angry. I think about General Walt, it breaks my heart.
Dr. Graves, that's not anger. That's righteous indignation right there. Let's just clarify.
Absolutely. And, many, many red-blooded Americans are hitting their boiling point. And if these people steal another election in November, oh my God, I just shudder to think, because we the people are actively involved in trying to take our nation back from these demon creatures and the rhinos. May Liz Cheney's political career rest in peace. How to Win in Court. That is the website, howtowinincourt.com. Guys, I will leave the link below. I'm coming back to my guests to say goodbye. Dr. Frederick Graves, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, James.
James, thank you, sir. How do people keep in touch with you, James? I'm sure people want to reach out.
Honestly, the best thing is reach out to me on Telegram. Jump onto my group, Affidavits 101. You'll see me there. My Telegram username is James the Patriot, and it's not necessarily because I am such a patriot. It's just I'm a patriot at heart. I love patriotic stuff, and so that's why I use that Telegram handle. But I would love to help everybody that reaches out to me, but it's gotten to a point where, and Dr. Graves will agree with me, if you're not willing to help yourself, there's nothing I can do to help. So you've got to be willing to take the course. You've got to be willing to take the first step. I am more than happy to review anything anybody writes and posts on the channel and offer my 2 cents, as little as it is. I'm happy to read it and say, hey, you might want to look at it this way or this way, but I can't You know, I've learned the hard way of writing things for people and them not taking it. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. That's not where I'm here. I'm here to help educate you. I'm here to help you as far as tactics and things of that nature, but I'm not here to do it for you. I can't do it for you. We will lose our republic if people are expecting others to save them from themselves. They've got to step up and save yourself.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, very well said. All right, guys. I want to thank the audience for tuning in. Our guests have been Dr. Frederick Graves and James Tracy, Affidavits 101 on Telegram, and of course, howtowinincourt.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean.
Friends, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. A special thanks to those who take the time to subscribe to this channel on Rumble, and of course, BitChute, Odyssey, etc. And for real news every single day, friends, you can find us for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
The good news is you can get both your flu shot and COVID shot at the same time. It's actually a good idea. I really believe this is why God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and the other one for the COVID shot.